Hi, folks. This is Courtney Bjorlund, news editor on SearchSAP.com, and you're listening to a SearchSAP.com podcast. Today, we're speaking with Mike Kerrigan, Vice President of Business Applications for Loras Technologies. A former COO, Mike started working on SAP implementations in 1994 and was part of one of the first mid-market SAP implementations in the United States. We'll be speaking with Mike about what he's seeing in the mid-market and ask him for some advice for our mid-market SAP customers. So, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business and how you got started and the first SAP implementation you did?
My name is Mike Kerrigan. I'm the Vice President of Tech for Loras Technologies here in Chicago. Background, I started implementing SAP as a user in 1993. We were one of the first sites in the U.S. to come up, a company out of Denver, Colorado, and we actually did it in 6 months for a middle market company. Loras here today, obviously we have different business units, but one of them that I run is Business Applications, which is focused on ERP implementations, both SAP and Oracle. Some of the things that we're doing different now is we've come up with managed services for master data, some tools around loading data in SAP and extracting data from SAP.
Now, you mostly concentrate on mid-market implementations, right?
That's what we'd like to do, but I think we have over time, but we also help a lot of the larger companies. But sometimes when people look at that, even the multinational, global, billion-dollar companies have divisions within them that would qualify as mid-market companies.
What do you see are some of the trends in this market?
The biggest trend to me is that there seems to be questions open-end about where the good resources are and how to implement SAP. And a lot of times you're seeing in the press a lot of failures around SAP or what people are saying are failures. I think the talent's out there, but a lot of times the customers, I think, are trying to find resources at a lower price than what we probably would expect the market used to bear years ago. And so now you got the quality price ratio problem out there.
That's interesting, and a topic that's been pretty hot on our site. Can you elaborate on that? Are you having a hard time finding people, or is it just that the companies aren't willing to pay for them?
Right. I think it's really how they're addressing what they're looking for. I mean, they want the best talent probably at the lowest price they can. You know, especially companies have been in maintenance mode, but then implementations, there's not a lot of new of them. Finding people is not that difficult. There still are a lot of good, talented people out there. But, you know, I know where they're at. I'm sure there's some people that know where they're at. But a lot of times in the consulting world, depending on who you're dealing with as a consultant, you might get bench people. And if the bench people aren't exactly the talent you need, there in fact lies a problem.
Can you give me some sense of how much this is costing companies than it did, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
I think in reality it's the same cost. I don't see that much different because, you know, the issue there is time. You know, it's time and resources. The rate, if you really think about it mathematically, is not going to make a major difference up or down $5 or $10 an hour. So it depends on the time, and it depends on how many resources you need. So the cost is pretty much the same. I've never seen where somebody, you know, did it years ago for $1.5 million, and they're going to do it today for $500,000. That's almost impossible. One of the things that we've done, though, again, when I go back to master data and doing a managed service around master data, we can cut the implementation of the conversion cost by as much as 50% now. We just got to get people out there understanding how to do that. So we're taking a lot of the people part of it out in the programmers, which also solves some of the skill set problem of, you know, cleansing, transforming that data into SAP, or even validating it once they're in maintenance mode.
Are these sort of some of the most common projects you're seeing in this market, the business intelligence type projects and things like that?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, it's basically on life cycle. In my mind is that now that people over time have implemented, I'm an old person, R3 now to ECC, they're starting to move up into the supply chain products, the CRMs, you know, more of a breadth within those companies to get the return on investment they hope for in the first time, that business intelligence would be huge to that because now I got to report on all those factors. And in fact, from a strategy standpoint, business intelligence, which you used to call business warehouse, is tied to a lot of those components because a lot of your data for APO planning, a lot of your data for CRM. Everything's in those data warehouses.
What are some of the biggest mistakes you see your customers making during the implementation process?
I think that what I see today is, and I mentioned it in quite a few articles already, is that a lot of times these companies now are making decisions by committee. We still need that leadership within those businesses. We need the integration. You know, a lot of companies today are still implementing with siloed mentality. The teams don't get along that well. And then, of course, as I always go back to, and I have to because I've been doing it for 15 years, is do you understand the data that you're putting in and the results that you want out of it? And, you know, unfortunately, SAP, to a certain degree, is all about data. So if you get that right, the rest of it should run pretty smoothly.
What's some of the biggest mistakes you see after the go-live?
Well, I think that's a good question. Is there really shouldn't be that many mistakes after go-live if you did all the prep part of it correct in the first place, right? You did the integrated testing. You trained the people. And so going live, in my view, should be a non-event. And, you know, that's something at Loris that we've always held true to. It's really not an event. As long as your customers and your vendors don't realize you put in SAP, that's a pretty big success. Other than that, again, I have to go back to if the users aren't trained well, you know, the mistakes after go live is they continue to possibly enter the wrong data. And then the good thing and the bad thing about SAP is it still will work. You might be able to still ship stuff, but you're not getting the reporting results or you have duplicates in the system that you have to find now.
Do you have any tips for our readers on helping them increase end-user adoption?
Well, you know, one of the things that we always did is in the methodology, and SAP has a very defined methodology. We all know that, you know, that started back in the 90s. But I think one of the things that's always missed in there is really that user acceptance and how to adopt it. So during the process, the team, you know, whether it's consultants or what they're doing there, or they're bringing on new products, is they've got to get the user community to buy into it from a business perspective. But the way to do that is to show them. And, you know, everybody calls it user acceptance testing. But in reality, it's got to be more than that. They've got to understand what their jobs are going to be, the whole change management perspective of it. But they'll see some benefits out of it. That's the biggest key. And if you can produce those benefits, then they'll adopt it pretty quickly.
I'm interested to hear what you have to think about, especially being focused on the mid-market, SAP's new enterprise support offering, and if you see that there is value for SAP customers in this segment, in that new offering.
I think that, you know, that's been a question that's been going around a long time. Now, one of the things that I see in the mid-market is around most companies is they don't feel that they've gotten the support in many cases that they really need it. But in a lot of cases, you know, did they keep up as a customer? And this is probably one of the biggest problems with SAP with their hot packs. So one of the things about support is, and this is not SAP's fault, but it goes back to the whole process. If I'm on hot pack 12 and SAP's on 42 within my version, how are they going to really help me on the support thing? I haven't kept up with what technology should have been in there. Did they fix the problem before? The whole enterprise thing goes to another question. If these companies are in maintenance mode more than, you know, out on the leading edge and developing new products and putting in APO and CRM and all the, you know, upgrading to EC6660, then what are they really going to get a benefit out of for the more money they have to spend?
So do you see this driving a lot of people toward upgrade?
I think that, you know, when you get into the upgrade scenario, there's a lot of questions that go with that. You know, if you're on 4.6 today and you're stable and everything's fine, then you have to find, as a business, the business benefits of going to an EC6.0. There's a lot of benefits sometimes in the newer product because they're still catching up with where they want to be. But at that point in time is, you know, can you afford the upgrade? You're in maintenance mode. That makes a big issue. Now, as you put the other components on, like APO CRM, now you have a bigger problem in the fact that one upgrade, you have to test everything. So the regression testing, the testing of the upgrades gets bigger and bigger as time goes on. And then more importantly is all of those people that are looking at upgrade, you know, how many objects did they affect through ABA programming that they're going to have to go back and change?
Is there anything I didn't ask or you want to point out that you think is important here?
No, I think that it's all the thing. It's becoming pretty complex environment with the new technologies, the NetWeaver. I think the companies have to sit back and, you know, put more work into the strategy of how they're going to get there, how they're going to follow along where SAP's going, and that might reduce some of their pain over time.
Thank you to Mike Kerrigan for your thoughts. This has been a SearchSAP.com podcast. Please continue to turn to us for all your SAP news.